Our reading for this evening is from Mark, the 16th chapter. Now, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. I've been living with this account of the resurrection that we find in Mark for a couple of months now, and it is so rich. The more I read it, the more I find. But it's only 8 verses long. And so, a couple of things that I've noticed along the way. And the first is the ending. Mark's ending is bizarre. Pastor Stanton preached really beautifully on this strange ending on Sunday, so if you weren't here, I encourage you to go online and listen to it. But I have a couple other things that I'd like to add. The first is that in the Gospel of Mark, the English translation says, "For they were afraid." So the women leave the tomb, they run away, and they are afraid, and they tell no one. But an interesting thing, when you look at the Greek, is that the Greek words here are used literally, translated to, "they were afraid for," and that's it. That's how Mark ends this gospel, with an incomplete sentence. And I can imagine that that first storyteller gets to the end of the gospel and is looking around at the room, at all the group, the people who are gathered there, most likely meeting in secret, perhaps in an upper room, and saying to them, "And they were afraid for..." And I imagine that they would go right back to the very beginning. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Those opening words would have come flooding back into their mind, because that's the victory story of Jesus Christ. And what other victory do we have except for Jesus' resurrection? This is an invitation to us to return back to the beginning of Mark's gospel. They were afraid for... why? Why were they afraid? For any of the reasons that Mark lifts up in his gospel for the people who follow Jesus to be afraid. But it's also a chance for us to ask ourselves, if this is the victory of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, that we are loved beyond anything, then we are afraid because why? I invite you to insert your fear there. What keeps you from proclaiming this amazing gospel that we have? Think about that, and then when you have that in your brain, to remind yourself that this is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the promise of love in our world. And then to remember a couple of verses ahead of this, we're told that Jesus Christ has been raised, that he is not here. And then this young man, we assume is an angel, because who else would be there, right, dressed in all white, then he says, "He goes before you to Galilee. Jesus goes ahead of the disciples who are gripped in fear and grief. But Jesus doesn't just go ahead of the disciples. Jesus goes ahead of the ones who are hearing this story of Mark's and the shadow of the persecution that they are feeling from the Roman government. And Jesus goes before the women. And Jesus goes before us. Which is an amazing gospel truth. I often have people ask me or say to me, I wonder if I've done enough. Pastor, have I done enough? And it's not just on their deathbed that they might say this to me. There's often many times in the person's life, have I done enough? And I get to say to them, Jesus, A, has been raised from the dead for your sake. Jesus goes ahead of you for your sake. And Jesus tells us of his love in these 8 verses of Mark, especially when the angel says to those women, tell the disciples and Peter that I go ahead to Galilee. Because the last time we've heard of Peter in the Gospel of Mark is when he realizes that he has done exactly what Jesus said, and he's betrayed this one whom he loves, whom he has said with every fiber of his being, I will never betray you, Jesus. I will die with you, Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, you will deny me 3 times, and then you will hear that rooster crow. And that's exactly what happens. 3 times, Peter says, I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about. I'm not that person you think I am. And then he hears that rooster crow. And I have to believe that in that moment, Peter weeps. That Peter is sure that he has just messed up so much that Jesus will never have anything to do with him again. And so when we get to this resurrection story, and the angel says, tell the disciples and Peter that I go before you, we're reminded of the depth of God's love and grace and forgiveness in the lives of those disciples and in our own lives, in the lives of everyone. Tell Peter that I go ahead of him. So anytime you mess up, anytime you're pretty sure you've just denied Jesus through your actions, right? What you've done is something that you would never do as a follower of Jesus's. Jesus is there, already there, has already gone ahead of you, and is there meeting you with love and grace and forgiveness every single time. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has been raised. He is not here. He goes before you. You, disciples, you, Mary, you, Salome, you, Peter, you, Karen. And I would dare say that if Judas had been a part of the story at this point, his name would be there too. That is who our God is. There's no enough for us to do. Jesus has already done it. We are freed from our fear of death and the grave so that we can do what Christ has called us to do. And when we mess up, because we will, we are reminded of God's love in our lives through Jesus. The last thing about this gospel that I will invite you to consider is that the way that Mark writes this gospel, writes this resurrection story, the verbs that he uses invite us into the story, are kind of like all of us are walking to the grave. So that we can imagine ourselves with the women walking to the tomb. Imagine how that would feel to see this one whom you have been following, whom you have loved, whom you have known, whom you have placed all your hope in. After watching him die, now you are going to prepare his body. At the earliest dawn, we're invited in to imagine with the women as they carry their spices how that stone is going to be rolled away. They can't do it. To imagine yourselves walking into the tomb and seeing a young man sitting there and hearing the incredible words that he is about to share and how that would hit you. First of all, the tomb is empty. What is going on? Because the dead, last time I checked, don't get up and walk. Unless Jesus happens to be there and calls them out, right? Lazarus got up and walked. Other than that, it doesn't happen. So what is going on? To imagine ourselves in this story trying to wrap our heads around the fact that Jesus is not there, and instead there's this young man saying, yeah, go to Galilee, he's there. What? To be amazed, to be in awe, to be afraid, to be outside of yourself, which is what the Greek words tell us at the end. And then to hear those words of promise. He is not dead. He has been raised, and he goes before you. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen.